Continuing with RN's Reformation to Revolution focus, we're now entering the week marking the centenary of the 1917 Russian Revolution. And yes, it is referred to as the October Revolution, but in Soviet terms, the official date is next Tuesday, November the 7th. The Russian Revolution was, and some argue still, is of enormous significance. It led to suffering and travail on an epic scale as a traditional monarchy and way of life were overturned. It led to the Soviet Union and thus the Cold War. It ushered in a whole new philosophy to government and geopolitics, communism, which it spawned to other countries like China with its own characteristics. Much has been written, revised, analysed, discussed and debated about the revolution's centenary in other countries. But in Russia, the anniversary is troublesome. It throws up some real challenges for Vladimir Putin, as we'll explore now with Mark Adell, who was appointed to a new position this year at the University of Melbourne, the Hansen Chair of History. And he's well-versed in the twists and turns of Soviet history. Mark, a big welcome to Saturday Extra.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Look, it does seem a surprise, I think, to those of us who may not be as well-versed as yourself, that about this Russian ambivalence. Has it been coming for a while, would you say?
Yes. I mean, they tried to figure out what to do with this revolution for at least a year, probably longer. And I think they've never entirely made up their minds of what to do. Now, we'll see. I mean, there might still be surprises to come on Tuesday. Well, we can. Everything I'm saying now might be falsified on Tuesday when you know Putin makes a big speech celebrating the revolution. But by and large, this is a problem in terms of commemoration because it for a variety of reasons. On the one hand, there's the problem that. The population is quite divided on whether or not this revolution was a good thing and whether or not, in particular, the October Revolution was a good thing. And by and large, the Russian government likes to embrace historical events which can unite the nation. So World War II, or more specifically, the war against Germany is the most... the most clear example for that, which is embraced by a large sector of the population and therefore is sort of a winner. But yes. The revolution is much more complicated.
And all the various events really going right through into the early 20s when it was just, so extraordinarily tumultuous and blood-filled. There have been exhibitions, and I've seen photos of Red Square lit up in red, and a new statue of Lenin, I think, has been unveiled. But is that sort of it, is it?
Well, as I said, we'll see. But, I mean, the statue of Lenin is an interesting case because that is a statue which is part of a... or a bust, really, part of a whole series of busts which are celebrating the leaders of the Russian state. So Lenin gets reinscribed into the history of Russia as a leader of the Russian state rather than as the revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And that sort of exemplifies the tension for official Russia about this revolution because... on the one hand, they want to embrace the Soviet Union and in particular the victory in World War II as part of a positive history of the Russian nation. But of course, they do not embrace revolution.
Right? No, he wouldn't want that to actually get take hold, would he?
Yes. And so you see what the problem is, right? Putin can't really embrace, and he's on the record of being disturbed by the Bolsheviks fomenting revolution in the middle of a war, the execution of the royal family, execution of clergy. The Russian government has forged a fairly close alliance with the Russian Orthodox Church, and of course the Bolsheviks were militant and at times lethal anti-church activists. So all of that doesn't sit well, but at the same time, of course, it is Lenin who founded the state, which won the war against Nazism. So it's a very complex operation to commemorate this revolution.
Well, yes, because and that whole very interesting question about nationalism versus broader ideologies, and whether the Bolsheviks weren't really committed to the mother country of Russia, that the Soviet Union was more of a sort of friendship of the peoples, all loyal to the Soviet order, and that subsumed multi-ethnic populations within one nation. It's a very interesting comparison, because there's similar slurs made, of course, to Muslims these days, that the caliphate or, you know, loyalty to greater forces more than to the sovereign state, and even to Roman Catholics. I mean, that was something thrown at Roman Catholics for many years, that they were loyal to Rome rather than their own state.
Mm. Well, I mean, the question of to what extent the Bolsheviks, you know, become Russian in a certain way is quite a convoluted one, because of course they were internationalists. They were not there to make a revolution just in Russia, but the expectation was that the Russian Revolution would trigger revolutions elsewhere. This was the whole theoretical idea of why you could make a revolution in a country which was 80% peasant and was, you know, not a proletarian country, clearly. So it wasn't for Marxists, for more orthodox Marxists than the Bolsheviks, it was not ripe for revolution. But the expectation was that there would be a world revolution, and therefore that problem would basically go away. But then there wasn't a world revolution. And then the result was that basically they reconstructed the Russian Empire, which had not been the program in the first instance, but it became the bridgehead for a world revolution, which then never came. And so they're basically then at the end of the Civil War in the mid-1920s, I mean, the Civil War ends in different parts of the country in different times, but sort of by 1923, most of the former Romanov Empire has been pacified by the Bolsheviks, with the exception of Finland, the Baltic states, and Poland, which remain independent. But they are basically then ruling what very much looks like a reconfiguration of the old Romanov Empire, without tsars, without capitalists, but in many ways a similar entity. And so they're kind of internationalists who end up without aspiring to that, with basically the Russian Empire. And then that, under Stalin, that gets more and more then embraced as a heritage as well.
Confusing. I mean, your essay in the Australian Book Review reminds us that depending on your political leanings, there are many ways to view the events of 1917 through either left-wing nostalgia or a clarion call for conservative hard-headedness. But you view this history, interestingly, as having deep ties with today's Eurasia. It's quite a positive view, and I wouldn't mind ending the program with it. So please enlighten us.
As you say, there are continued to be in many ways continuations of positions which have been taken during the Cold War. On the one hand, the Bolshevik Revolution as the big hope, the moment which shows that you can have a socialist revolution. On the other hand, people who see that as a dangerous threat, and who then point towards, well, not only the terror under Lenin, but then in particular also the terror under Stalin. To me, in 2017, with the Soviet Union gone, and frankly the threat of Bolshevik-like revolution seeming very remote, those have sort of lost interest to me. But what if we look at the revolution as a revolution of an empire, what we see in 1917 and 1918 is the breakdown of the Romanov Empire into various new states amidst then increasingly brutal war, and then a reconquest of that space, or much of that space, by the Red Army. But during that period, you get many of the states which we find today, the 15 successor states of the Soviet Union, emerging for the first time. Not all of them exactly in the borders we have today, but many of them very much so, because the way these territories get reincorporated into what becomes the Soviet Union is as formally independent union or autonomous union republics who have the right to secession. This, of course, is a complete fiction, but that forms the basis for the settlement in 1991 when the Soviet Union breaks down, and then in its stead come 15 successor states, which have very strong links to that period of 1917-18 through 21-23, depending on the area.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. thank you. That was a bit trite. But thank you very much indeed, Mark. I do appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.